Views and opinions of shows on KCNR are those of the hosts, guests, and callers only, and do not necessarily reflect those of the staff, management, or advertisers of KCNR Radio.
Like a pro with your host Jeff Cowell and my co-host, my beautiful wife, Krista Di Mercurio. We are here for the next hour. Thank you very much for tuning in and listening to us talk about food, trying to take you to the level of cooking like a pro. We are here. You've reached us at KCNR 1460 AM or 96.5 FM, and you can call in. There's a couple of different ways to reach us. Call in at local number 530-605-4567. That's 605-4567. Or if you'd like to just text us a question from your mobile, you can go to cookinglikeapropodcast.net.
And now we have a kitchen phone that you can call and leave a voicemail on.
Oh, we do.
We do.
Okay, so that's why I'm not the tech person.
CookingLikeAProPodcast.net. There is a kitchen phone. You can call and leave a voicemail anytime you like, 24/7.
Okay. Well, I'm not sure how often I'll be checking that, but I'm going to let the tech expert, my wife Krista, do that.
But I have notifications on my iPhone.
But we are excited again and for the support of the people that are listening, and be sure to pass it on. Set it in your calendar every Wednesday. 5 o'clock, right here again on KC in our 1460 AM. And we want to start off like we have the last couple of weeks with a fresh update. So I had something going. I was cutting wood. And so Krista went to the farmer's market. So I'm going to go let her talk about kind of some of the things you've seen and some of the things that you picked up.
Again, like last week, still tons of peaches and tree fruit, plums, things like that, giant tomatoes, little itty-bitty baby tomatoes, cucumbers, zucchini. But I started to go for the fun stuff that I don't normally see, and I got shishito peppers.
Yeah, she brought home the fun stuff, all right. Okay, the shishitos. We actually prepared those last night for dinner.
Yeah.
And we'll talk a little bit about that. What else did you bring out? You brought a couple other things home, too.
I brought home some donut size peaches, little flat short ones.
Those were delicious. Those are delicious.
I also got edible pansies.
Edible pansies, yeah. Thing about flowers, when you're eating edible flowers, is they really have an amazing difference in flavor. That some of them have a nice spice to them. Some of them have a little more heat. Some of them are a little more fruity. So it's one of the things I wanted to talk about. And that's the different things that we can add to our salads. You know, people think of the salad as being, mainly an iceberg lettuce, sometimes, romaine. Walking through the process of making sure it's crisp is something. Is that video up on our
No,
okay, alright. Well, we're finishing the editing on that. We'll get that one up because how you prepare the lettuce is vital to how crisp it's going to end up being. But what we're looking at and talking and discussing now is things we can add to it. Textural components, pumpkin seeds, sunflower seeds, any variety of nuts, but also other things that fall under the herb category. And lettuces too, butter lettuces, different types of lettuces, because from the cook standpoint, I take this overall salad that I've made, and I have to match the salad dressing to it. If I took a nice, light, butterless lettuce salad and put blue cheese on it, it would just be flat on the plate.
Well, here's what's interesting about the salad I made last night. I used romaine, but it was a romaine from the farmer's market, mm-hmm. and it was not bitter at all. It was almost as gentle as a butter lettuce. And then I put on these sweet and spicy sprouts on it and a blue cheese and some toasted sesame. No, not sesame seeds.
But the sprouts you put on it, what was the name of the farm that you got those from?
Those are from Clay Farms.
Clay Farms, okay. And thing about sprouts is they can – sprouts by themselves are very earthy. Let's just use that term. So they can have more of an earthy flavor. Some might say dirt. people that aren't so nice. But again, they can add so much variety, not just a textural component with the crispness, but they often have, they come with a, just a variety of different spicy flavors to them.
Well, it's sprouted from many different things. I think in this mix, they had some cabbage and different things that I never would thought would be a sprout. You know, you mm-hmm. think of broccoli sprouts or alfalfa sprouts. You can have sprouts from any types of different vegetables.
You know, and herbs also, we have a lot of things growing around our house, in our house, around our house. But, you know, things like different herbs like cilantro, maybe you want to cut up a little bit of that. I'm talking about just like rough chops, pieces that are maybe, you know, quarter to half inch in size, don't need to be, you know, precisely cut. Just have those mixed in, or mint's a good one. If you want to liven up your salad with a little bit of, you know, just a little bit of vibrance, and the mint is a good one. Basil, of course, gives a nice deep flavor. So, you know, adding these different ingredients to your salads can just take the regular boring salad, and you can do some great things with it. We have not tried. Well, you did. I did not have a salad last night.
No. If anybody's got their phone open right now, if they want to go to Instagram, I posted that salad.
Oh, okay.
So they can see all the ingredients.
On Instagram. I don't even know what Instagram is, folks. Remember, I am not the tech person here. But on the shishitsu peppers, those are blistered. So what you want to do is you want to do those in a very heavy bottom pan. That's the key. Heavy bottom pan. And because you want to sear them. So you get a heavy bottom pan, cast iron, of course, is heavy bottom. A lot of your pots and pans, you check those. You check kind of the thickness of the bottom of that pan, and you want it thick because you want even heat distribution. And then you just throw the tablespoon or so, just enough oil to just lightly coat the bottom, and just throw in your shishitsus, sprinkle down with a little bit of salt, and just let them blister. Let them blister on one side, shake them around, saute if you'd like, flip them around, but let them get a nice little blister to it. And you'll love them. They're a very mild, distinctive flavor.
And they're very low on the Scoville scale. Even I can handle them.
On the Scottsville, they're, actually a 200. And then to give you a idea, a jalapeno is a 5,000 on Scottsville units. So they're right around just a little bit over a bell pepper, but you can get some hot ones. But, you know, they're great in a lot of things, vitamin C, B6, E. You know, in Latin American countries, they have many fewer people, let's put it that way, with heart diseases and heart concerns. And a lot of that has to do with the capsaicin, which comes from the peppers that they're eating, because that causes your body to sweat. And if your body sweats, that's your body air conditioning itself. So it's a much lower rate of different heart issues in, again, the Latin American countries where they use a lot of capsaicin, a lot of chilies, South America, Asian, they use a lot of chilies. So, but it helps also with immune system, nervous system, variety of things. I remember I wanted to learn more about chilies, so I taught a class on it. That was decades ago, but it was out here at the local college. And some of you listening may have taken that class. I taught for quite a while out there, variety of different classes, but I could, you know, barely handle, you know, jalapenos when I taught the class. And by the time the class was over, I could eat habaneros and I could drink Tabasco sauce.
Not me.
Yeah. So, well, it's a matter of getting used to it, right? It's a matter of, and that's what it is. You know, your body's got to get used to being able to do that. I've seen people try to eat the ghost peppers and the crazy things that are out there, and it's just painful. You know, I don't know why you'd want to put your body through that pepper.
What are the peppers that everybody puts on sandwiches?
A little more of an Ortega. Yeah,
There's like a banana pepper. And
yeah, banana peppers, pepperoncini. Pepperoncini. Is a good one.
Pepperoncini is my threshold. I can't go above pepperoncini.
Yeah. But, well, because they can generate, that one's going to be one that's been marinated, and that vinegar is going to pull off a little bit of that heat index as well. you know, but anyway, they're healthy and they're good for you. So maybe try some the next time you're there. What'd you pay for that basket?
I think it was about $5 somewhere.
Yeah,
in there.
And it was a great veg for me, Chris, and our son, our youngest, Isaac. And
it's a hands-on vegetable. You can grab the little, you know, the little tip of it and pull it off. It's kind of like edamame. It's the same thing. You got it. It's more of a handheld type appetizer.
Yeah. So what you want to do is head down to your farmer's market. Don't forget the farmer's market. We're going to go ahead and take a break, and you'll be back in just a moment with Cooking Like a Pro with Chef Cal and Krista DiMicurio.
Grab your smiles and get your hats. Farmer's market is where it's at. Have fun and then go back. I got a load of veggies in my sack. Grab your smiles and get your hats. Farmer's market is where it's at. Have fun and then go back. I got a load of veggies in my sack. I got a load of veggies in my sack. I got a load of veggies in my sack. Please support your local farmer's market.
Hey, Redding, take an inflation vacation with Black Bear Diner's 7 new weekday dinner deals, starting at just $9.99. Tasty fish tacos, creamy fettuccine carbonara, steak and fries, a crispy chicken dinner, beef stroganoff, and more. Serve Monday through Friday after 4 p.m. Escape inflation's grip on your wallet and set the table tonight with good old-fashioned family food at your friendly Black Bear Diner in Redding on Hilltop Drive.
Black Bear Diner.
Are you a senior or part of a senior family in Northern California? Discover the Legacy Conference, Shasta County's premier event for seniors. Hi, I'm financial advisor JC Marrero, the founder of Legacy Builders Alliance. We invite you to join us for the Legacy Conference on August 3rd at the Reading Civic Auditorium. Admission is free thanks to Roof Savers. Explore vendor booths, attend interactive breakout sessions, and gain valuable insights from our local experts in finance, estate law, health, wellness, and so much more. Attendees will have the opportunity to be entered into drawings to win giveaway prizes, visit food trucks, and enjoy free coffee. By pre-registering today, you'll receive an extra entry into our big giveaway valued at over $5,000. Also, the first 800 attendees will receive a free swag bag. Reserve your spot today at LegacyBuildersAlliance.org or by calling 530-364-4667. Take charge of your legacy and leave a lasting impact. We look forward to seeing you on August 3rd.
Hi, it's Mark from Haven Humane Society. Are you looking to add to your family? We have puppies, kittens, small critters, and farm animals. Each year, we have thousands of amazing animals looking for homes come into our lives, and we hope to have them join yours. Follow us on social media and find our links on our website at havenhumane.org. Watch our weekly content on YouTube, like our Mark's Monday Mashup, when we talk about what's going on and introduce you to our team and adoptable animals. Get involved. Volunteer. Thank you for all your continued support. Together, we are moving closer to our ultimate goal of a North State with no more homeless pets.
Well, who would have ever thought that there was a song about spam? Well, I mean, if you're a Monty Python fan, you would. you definitely would.
You found it. I don't know how you found that one.
But anyway, it was, you know, spam is just something that, I came across the song, so I figured, hey, you know, I gotta talk a little bit about this, because when me and my brothers were young, and, dad would always come home, especially when we were graveyard, he'd come home, and it was so very important for him that, all of his boys had, a hot meal for breakfast before we went off to school. And it was just so important for him. And so he always made sure to have something. 90% of the time it was something in a tortilla. Now this is way before Taco Bell. And we're talking in the early 60s, early and mid 60s. It was, you know, but it was anything in a tortilla with a piece of cheese. But I tell you, in fried bologna, bologna takes on an entirely new just dimension, folks, when it's fried. Trust me on that. Everything but from the ears to the tail. And Spam, very similar, fried Spam on top of that, piece of an American cheese with the tortilla. I'm getting a strange look from my wife, but
person.
I don't think she got had a
no, I did not have
the tortilla upbringing that I did. But no. Thank you, Dad, out there for introducing Spam to us. I know that when in a couple of our trips to different trips to Hawaii, we've been blessed to do that. spam is a big thing over there. They got sushi spam.
Yeah,
I can't remember what the name. Can't remember what the name of that is.
But I've always like Musu Mambi.
Mambi. Yeah, Mambi.
Something like that.
But I'm guessing here, and I didn't Google it, but that it had something to do with all the soldiers there during because of the Army base at Pearl Harbor and. And
they had great.
And you know, I went to the store the other day, and I didn't go and buy any, but I did pass the spam aisle, and it's no longer a can of spam.
What?
There are like a half a dozen varieties.
Was it shrink wrapped?
There's spam light. Oh. You know, low sodium spam. A bunch of different flavors of spam, and someone's taking it to the next level. But for me, I think you take away from it. If you're going to go for spam, then you just go hog wild. Literally hog wild.
Well, we do have
an
old post on the blog, which we need to refresh and actually make it again, is we did have some spam in the cabinet, and I took it and made spam cakes, like a crab cake, more of an elevated dish with the spam.
I'm not sure that elevates it, but I don't know. I'm just used to the tortilla. So anyway, we did want to talk a little bit about this is going to be our cooking skills B block here that we have. And I wanted to talk a little bit because we've been trying to just touch on a different cooking skill as we go through. And griddling. Now, when you griddle, and here's the big it's not a misconception. It's more of just a misunderstanding. People think like cooking on a barbecue is grilling. That is not grilling. That is what we call char grilling because the meat is exposed to flame from directly underneath. If it's cooked on a heated flat surface, let's just say pancakes, something is cooked on a heated flat surface, and then we're talking, we use the word griddle. Okay, it's char grill, if you're cooking outside, and we did talk about that, that's a dry cooking method. Griddling is also a dry cooking method. And the thing that's so great about it is what we want to do with our food, folks, is we want to lock in the flavor. We talked about this last week with the salmon cooked in the paper bag and things like that. Mm-hmm. But you want to lock in that flavor. And you lock it in by searing it quickly. Deep frying. You know, you need to be 375 degrees, but I'll tell you, it is a very healthy way to cook. The reason it's not, if people do it wrong in the sense that the oil's not high enough temperature, so when the food goes in, it starts soaking in grease, and that's the thing that.
So, what do you griddle? Yeah. What type of things do you griddle other than pancakes?
Oh, you could grill anything. A lot of people grill steaks. There's a local place here in town, Jack's. They all their steaks are cooked on a grill, griddle. This is a flat surface, and there's no place for anything to go, so it's pretty much got to be maintained. The flavor's maintained, so that's a great way to do it. One of the things that we use also in place of a griddle would be the cast iron, the heavy bottom pan that I mentioned earlier, where you want to just sear your meat to lock that flavor in. And blackened catfish.
Mm.
Yeah, blackened catfish. Now, my wife is not a real big she's a big flavor person, but not a big spicy person.
No.
The spice has got to be balanced.
Yes.
You know, like she mentioned earlier. I mean, you know, she can handle the pimentos. Getting up to a bell pepper, but you know, anything much over a jalapeno. But
I can't even do jalapeno.
Yeah. Well, the thing on the jalapeno though is what we want to taste with the pepper is we want to taste the flavor. And the flavor comes from the fruit itself. The pepper's a fruit. And, so you take the seeds out of it and you take those shoulders, those little membranes, you take those out of the pepper, and now you got the true taste of the pepper. You don't have all that heat because you removed it. The heat comes from those shoulders that are in there that go from the membrane and then they go into the seeds themselves. Or you can let your peppers go until they get red. You know, when they get red, they also lessen in heat as well. Most peppers eventually will get red. But blackened catfish is just a great dish. I've always loved that. It's take some red snappers, it used to always be very inexpensive. There isn't anything that's really inexpensive now, but you just butter your fillet and, remember fillet, F-I-L-E-T, we are talking about beef, filet mignon, fillet, F-I-L-L-E-T, two L's, we're talking about a fillet of fish. In this case, like we did halibut. We talked about the halibut wrapped in puff pastry last week. So we take the catfish, lightly butter it. You do this with anything you wanted to blacken. Swordfish, shark, any other type of rockfish would work. And then you lightly butter it and sprinkle it heavily or maybe pat it down into some Cajun seasoning, which doesn't have to be overly hot and spicy Cajun seasoning.
Is that specific to blackening? Can you blacken something without Cajun seasoning?
No. The blackening, it comes from the South, Louisiana, you know, and that's where you get your blackened foods down there. Scallops is something that they sear a lot. But with the seasoning, we're calling it's blackened, but then you want to counterbalance that. Because it's going to be on the spicy side, and we serve that with the raspberry sauce with a little bit of cream in there. And remember, when you get something hot on your tongue and you want to get rid of that, you need dairy,
sugar?
Ice cream, milk, something like that. There's a couple of other things that work real good. Sugar will take it away, and then carbs. You know, things like getting a hot salsa, and that's why you serve it with chips.
Tortilla chips,
because it takes that heat element out. So, you know, I've tasted something really hot, been in a restaurant, just taken a sugar packet, just touched it to the tip of my tongue, and it just removes the heat.
But do not use water.
Yeah, if you go straight to a beverage, you know, you grab a beer or something, all you're doing then is
spreading the heat.
You're absorbing that into your mouth. You know, so
what's the difference between pan searing and griddling? Is it just a different size of pan, or is it the same concept?
It's the same concept. It's just going to depend. We generally cook on griddles that can be 1 to 2 inches thick. I mean, they take quite a while to heat up. So you've got this griddle that's going to hold it. But the thing is, the thicker it is, the more even the heat's going to be. All right? We've all cooked in pans that were like cheap and inexpensive, and they kind of warp when you cook on them.
Mm-hmm.
Invest in a good, solid pan. You know, maybe someday we'll have a line of pans. I don't know. What do you think?
I enjoy our double burner griddles that we have.
Double burner griddle.
Because it goes across the big long that covers two, you know, so you can do things on the back, you can do things on the front, and it distributes the heat more.
Yeah, you want to make an eggs benedict, you can have your muffins grilling in one spot, your eggs frying in another, although traditionally they would be poached, and then also your ham going. So, you know, anytime you can do one, the fewer the dirty dishes, the better. So what we call this is like one pot cooking. It's like making a stew. Your potatoes are in there, your vegetables are in there, your beef is in there, your gravy's in there, and you dish it up in a bowl, and you've only got one dirty pot, maybe a cutting board.
But if you've also got a double burner griddle, then one side can be a little hotter, one side could be a little cooler. If you're doing something that requires a higher temp, you're still only using one dish, technically, but they can have two different temperatures on each end.
That can work as well. And coming up in the next segment, we still got another minute here, but just as far as talking about these cooking skills, and preparing things for dinner, we're going to be talking in the next segment about something that is probably the number one question that we get as professional cooks and chefs, and that's how do you get all the food to come up together? And that's the whole part of this understanding what's going on, what it is you want to prepare, and we're going to talk about that. Could take like a A to Z on that one. But you know, there's a lot of different things that are out there, different ways. You really have to do what you're most comfortable with. I think probably one of the most popular items, I would say, would be the pressure cooker now. It's really a crock pot. Well, a crock pot without the pressure. But, you know, I remember mom, I come home, I was the first one home from school, and there'd be these little post-it notes on the refrigerator to Cal and say, you know, Cal, please put the casserole into the oven at 350 at 5 o'clock, or turn the crock pot off, or heat this up, or do this here. And I'll be honest, that's kind of where it started for me. I was very young. I was, you know, first one that came home. Of course, we talked about this before. I was also the worst shot, you know, so all that kind of drew me into the kitchen, and we got what it is we got. But when it comes to those cooking skills, learn the different skills first. Learn how to saute. Learn how to griddle. Learn how to char grill. Learn how to boil. We talked last week about learning how to poach, learn how to boil, learn how to do these different cooking skills, because they're more important than what it is you're cooking. Because if you don't know the skill, you're literally, the chances of ruining what it is that you're cooking is probably going to be greatly increased. So the idea is to learn that cooking skill. Focus on learning that cooking skill. That's what they did in my French apprenticeship, and it was something that you just had to learn. And it came way before you ever were able to get up on a line and start cooking. So anyway, just some tips, and we'll be coming right back with some more tips here at Cooking Like a Pro with Chef Cal and my co-host, my beautiful wife, Krista DiMercurio.
This is the night. It's a beautiful night, and we call it a bella notte. When the one you love is near. For this is the...
Are you craving a delicious pizza at a great price? Look no further than Charlu's Tap House. Charlu's Tap House is bringing back their incredible pizza deal. Every Tuesday from 4 p.m. until close, you can enjoy half off on your second pizza. That's right, buy one of any size and get the second one half off. This offer is only available for dine-in. So gather your friends and family and head over to Charlu's Tap House. The famous meal deal is back by popular demand. For just $29.95, you can choose between a medium two-topping pizza or a large plate of spaghetti with two mouth-watering meatballs. You have the option to indulge in a large house or Caesar salad. It's a complete feast at an unbeatable price. Charlu's Tap House is the place to be every day of the week from 3 p.m. to 6 p.m. Enjoy a refreshing drink from our beer wall and get a fantastic 25% off during happy hour. Don't miss out on these incredible offers. Visit Charlu's Tap House today and savor the flavors you love at the prices that can't be beaten.
Wildfire season is upon us. Being prepared saves lives. Develop and practice an evacuation plan with your household. Stay informed about local fire conditions and follow evacuation orders if issued. Know your evacuation zone. Go to ShastCom911.com. Click on Be Prepared, Know Your Zone. Type in your address and write it down in case of emergency. You can also sign up for Alert Shasta at ShastCom911.com.
Blue skies and sunny days are here, and so is summer travel. That's why Quick and Clean Car Wash at the corner of Market and Eureka Way in downtown Reading invites you to stop by and enjoy their all-cloth car wash, where they take the time to pre-wash and hand-scrub your car or truck, where they work hard to remove the bugs just in case your vehicle is a summer bug magnet. Quick and Clean is fast, convenient, and has a towel-dry exit. Quick and Clean at the corner of Market and Eureka Way in downtown Reading.
We have no bananas. We have no bananas today. We got string beans and onions and big juicy lemons and all kinds of fruit and sage. We've got an old-fashioned tomato. A Long Island potato.
Okay, the one and only great Louis Prima. Oh, you know, that reminds me of the Big Night. The movie The Big Night. That was, I tell you folks, if you have not seen it, I will give you my recommendation. 5 stars for The Big Night. One of the few, food cooking kind of guru movies that I really think does a great job, showing the challenges and struggles of operating a restaurant.
With your family.
With the family. You got the brother in the front, and you got the brother in the back, and the tension that comes along with it.
Trying to keep a restaurant alive.
Yeah, and they end up doing this big, event because Louis Prima is going to come and eat at this meal, and they wait all day. And I'm a spoiler alert, but anyway, it's a really, really fun, good movie. They make that. That's the first time I've seen timpano. Timpano. It's a baked pasta dish, and it was kind of the center of everything they made. But they must have made 20 courses. I mean, it just went on and
yes,
on.
Yes, it did.
And
it's a on. It's a good movie, though.
Yeah, but that
big night. Timpano, big night.
Baked pasta, egg, salami, meatballs, red sauce, all kinds of good stuff. But anyway, so we wanted to talk a little bit about setting up your meal, making meal planning easy. It is something that we have to do, whether you're, you know, just buying something that's RTU, you know, ready to eat, or something that just needs to be heated up, or you're having something dropped off, or your Uber Eats and it's coming already prepared, ready to eat. But again, you know, there's a high cost in that, but not just the cost aside. I really truly believe that the deterioration of much of this country came down to the simple fact that families quit eating together. When we were being raised, if you weren't at the table, you didn't eat it if you weren't there on time. And you ate everything that was on your plate, you know. And there are, you know, kids starving in the Sudan, but, you know, you literally had to. And you had to try everything. And that's why we had, you know, me and my brothers really had a great opportunity to try some really cool things that, you know, most people probably...
Well, and a little different in our house. I didn't have to try everything or eat everything, especially in large portions, but we cooked together. My grandma made the salad. I made whatever the bread component was that night. My mom usually made the main, and my dad would be out on the grill. Literally, the entire family cooked together every single meal.
And that's the excitement. That's where the love is being shared. And if you're going to do something, I tell you folks out there, if you're going to do something that you're going to be doing anyway, why not do it and get the most out of it? You know, we only go around once, so why not enjoy those times? And I can tell you that that's when you're going to create the memories. And when folks go home to be with Jesus, and, you know, that's kind of what we got, is the memories, and that's what we focus on. So having all that fun at the table is great. And some of the tips is, first off, knowing what you want to make. You know, kind of decide that. Having and making sure you have those products on hand. So if you need to get something, get it on the way home from the store. But always try to be a day ahead in knowing what you want to make, and knowing what you have to buy. And we have tools to be able to help you to get that. Free tools online at our, Culinarily Yours, our website. You can get some of those things. We have more that we're adding all the time. One thing I like, make sure the kitchen's clean. My wife is so good at that, much better than that. I'm really good at making sure the kitchen's dirty.
Yes, you are. And yeah. So is our son.
That's why we're such a perfect match, honey, in so many ways. And then after that, you know, make sure you got your recipes. Make sure that, you know, I mean, we didn't have the internet when I started this. And I used to have around 900 cookbooks. I think I'm down to probably 800. I think Chris is sneaking a few, you know, into the trash bin here and there. But I do have a lot of cookbooks.
Kid, I won't let you throw them out. I'm the one that keeps them.
Well, we got a bunch. Yeah, so, but having those recipes, and now with the internet, you can get something, you know, right away. Check a couple of the different things. I don't go online to get recipes because I've learned the cooking skills and I know what it is that I want to do. But that's how you get better, and that's how you practice, and that's how you... Why you utilize your notebook, have your culinary notebook, your cooking like a pro notebook, get a cookbook and just make these notes in of, again, like we talked about last week, what works. Okay, do blueberries work with duck? Does brie work with roasted garlic? Does balsamic work with strawberries? Some of these real traditional things that you may not, know.
Well, when you're beginning out, start with the stuff that you do know, the stuff that you're comfortable making. Always have your go-to.
You know, and add something to it. That doesn't mean you can't take your regular lasagna and then, you know, layer fresh basil in it. Or maybe go with, instead of using ricotta cheese, maybe you want to go with a little bit of Asiago in there to give it that cheese a little more bite. And if you do that, though, you're going to want to add a little mozzarella because you still want to have enough stretch. So, you know, just think about things. Is it a cheese that melts? But look at what you're going to make and say, okay, how can I take this to a different level and to be able to enjoy it? Remember, and I've said this, and I'll say it continuously, I've said it hundreds of times in the past, in America, when we eat to live, right? We eat so we can have the fuel to keep going. In France, they live so they can eat. They do their daily things that they do, so at night, when they get together to eat, it's a family affair. It's a celebration. Even if it's not a celebration, it's a Tuesday night. And you see this in a lot of the different, a lot of different countries. In fact, I think in America is about the, probably the only place where you don't see it, that it's such a family gathering. And again, that's what we need to get back to. I know you went to Argentina, same thing.
Oh, we ate constantly.
Yeah, food was awesome.
It was food-centric down there, absolutely.
Yeah. So food's in the middle, not just holidays and celebrations, but also time that you can spend together. And then even lastly, kind of count down to what it is that you need. Again, most people have the biggest challenge that we get is how to get all the food, or the biggest question we get that is a challenge is how do we get all the food done at the same time? And you do that by having a countdown time. Like in the restaurant, we'll say, okay, it's whatever the time is, 5 o'clock, dinner's 5 o'clock. 5 o'clock to the window. So everything gets counted down to that time. Maybe the asparagus is blanched off, so it just needs to go into a pan for 30 seconds to bring it up to heat and hit it with a little bit of seasoning. Maybe the meat is cooked and it's resting, so it'll be ready to slice. And maybe your starch or your potatoes, you know, are hot and bubbly and ready to come out of the oven. And maybe they got done a little bit earlier, so turn the oven off and let them sit in there and stay hot.
Yeah, whatever can you cook ahead of time and what can hold.
Yeah, prepping ahead of time, definitely want to start there. Even the day before, I mean, it's so simple to prep a really nice vegetable, for example. You know, you want to say you got a nice vegetable, like I happen to love Brussels sprouts. They are a little more time consuming to clean, and it's a special way to do it. I did a video on that, so we'll get that one online as well. But you really need to know how to do it, or you're going to end up with a little baby cabbage that's rock hard in the middle, and the leaves are overcooked and falling off.
Yeah, I did that. They're so bitter.
but you blanch them. When you blanch them, it takes the sulfur out.
There you go.
So you really miss a lot of that. Broccoli and cauliflower, a lot of the sulfuric vegetables, you can easily do that. Drop them in boiling water, let them get 80-90% cooked, pull them out, put them in ice water, cool them down, cut them up, then just bring them up to temperature in a pan. Maybe you're going to throw some beets in there. Something that goes great with beets, a little salt and pepper, and cream. Makes it look fluorescent also. But cream beets are great.
That I have not tried. Yeah. But I think one of the things we need to emphasize, too, is not everything has to be cooked from scratch.
No.
If it's not a restaurant, you're not a chef, you can rely upon Trader Joe's or another pre-made product to assist you. If you don't have an assistant, you know, like I said, my family, we all cooked. We all took on a different dish and cooked together. If it's just you, focus on one dish. If you can get some other ready-made items like a ready-made salad, ready-made bread, ready-made side potatoes that you just got to throw in the microwave, and you just focus on one dish, that can help you spread out your time.
Yeah, and exactly. And as you're practicing this, you're getting better at it, and then you'll be able to, because what we call those are convenience products. Maybe it's convenient sauce, or it's convenient vegetables already cut, or protein that's already prepped and seasoned. But they're a convenience product, and the convenience is it takes some of that work out for you that you don't have to worry about. But all that work you can do yourself. Just take note of the things that you enjoy and the things that go well together. We talked about the plate balance last week about your 40% being your main protein, and then your starch or your grain and your vegetables being about 30% each. So that gives you your 100% on your plate. So you want a complete meal. So many times we just kind of pick up and just eat one thing. Why not enjoy it? Why not take your food, something you have to do, and take it to the next level?
And you don't have to make huge portions. We're both at that age now where we're eating less and less and less. We're not eating big things like, you know, when we were running around and doing sports and very active.
Yeah. So anyway, there's a lot of different things that you can look at when it comes to making it easier. We'll just say that this is the Dinner Doctor segment. And again, if you have questions, you want to type those in. How do I get this? How do I do that? How do I reheat my pasta? Different things like that. Again, you can go to cookinglikeapropodcast.net. Again, cookinglikeapropodcast.net and type those in. And what was the text again?
It's right there. There's a button on the page. You can either text from your phone if you're using your phone to access it, or you can also hit the record button and send us a voicemail.
Fantastic. Please don't show me how to do
that. Hey, Cal.
Yeah,
I do. Hey, Chef Cal. Yeah. We did get one message from, she called in. She didn't want to take up any airtime, but she did want to say she's listening from Melbourne, Florida, and she loves the show.
Well, thank you.
She
very
didn't
much.
Want to interrupt you guys.
Did you give a first name?
Jenny from
Jenny.
Hey, Jenny.
Shout out to Jenny on the left coast, all the way over there. Well,
so, Jenny, if you do have a question, go ahead to that cookinglikeapropodcast.net and send us your request, and we'll answer on the next show.
Thanks, Jenny. We appreciate you calling in as anyone else. So we're going to go to our next segment here, back on our D block. But right now, you've been listening to Cooking Like a Pro with Chef Cal and the co-host, my beautiful wife, Krista Di Mercurio.
When the moon hits your eye like a big pizza pie, that's amore. When the world seems to shine like you've had too much wine, that's amore. Bells will ring, ting-a-ling-a-ling, ting-a-ling-a-ling, and you'll sing Vita Bella. Hearts will play tippy-tippy-tay, tippy-tippy-tay, like a guitar and a.
Come celebrate the 40th anniversary of the veteran-owned sandwichery at 1341 Tehama Street in downtown Reading. This mom-and-pop restaurant has been serving up delicious, quick, and fresh made-to-order sandwiches with generous portions at a great price for 40 years. Enjoy a club sandwich, pastrami corned beef, a Californian with turkey, avocado, and cheese, an egg salad sandwich, roast beef, chicken salad, and I'm getting hungry just thinking about it. They also have vegetarian sandwiches and much more. Plus, hot dogs and homemade soups, potato salad, and big bakery-style cookies. Sandwichery is also a destination featuring unique World War II decor with inside dining and outside shaded patio seating. Sandwichery, celebrating their 40th anniversary this July. Open Monday through Friday from 10 to 2 at 1341 Tehama Street in downtown Reading. Sandwichery, dine in or take out. Call 530-246-2020. That's 530-246-2020.
Dinosaurs have taken over Turtle Bay Museum with Expedition Dinosaur, Rise of the Mammals. Open now through September 2nd, featuring large-scale animatronics and life-size models of dinosaurs, hands-on activities, and more. Journey back in time and explore the end of dinosaur reign in this highly interactive and educational exhibition from Stage 9 Exhibits. Expedition Dinosaur, Rise of the Mammals, on display now at Turtle Bay Museum. Learn more at turtlebay.org.
For over 50 years, House of Realty has provided experienced and effective advice to its real estate clients. Experts in residential, commercial, and investment property, we have the knowledge and tools to assist you with all of your real estate needs. Family owned and operated since 1965, we have been an active part of the Shasta County community for generations. Please call House of Realty today at 241-8300, a reputation for excellence since 1965.
Enjoying doing a segment or a block on wine. It's such a passion because it's my restaurants in the past. And welcome back. I'm sorry to Cooking Like a Pro with Chef Cal and Mrs. Chef Krista. But it's such a, with my restaurants being higher end in the past, but we also had old school, which was just, you know, those type of, you know, chicken and dumpling, roasted game hen type visuals, yeah, meatloaf and things. But anyway, wine's always been just a great additive for the dish, for the flavor, for the enjoyment of it. They do have non-alcoholic wines as well. But one of the things about wine, I wanted to talk a little bit about one of the red wines that I enjoy, and that's a Pinot Noir. And Pinot Noir was very similar to Merlot. Yeah. Pinot Noir got famous when they started being able to pronounce Pinot Noir. Again, just like when Merlot quit being called Merlot. You know, and this was like in the late 90s, I kind of noticed that. But wine can be, it can be as sophisticated or as simple as you want. And some people just have a tendency to feel a little more pressured because maybe they don't have that experience. But tasting it is how you do that. And I know that that's something that's going to be very big upcoming on our website, to be able to kind of explain to people how to taste and how to match and do food and wine pairing. Because if you're going to have a glass of wine with dinner, you certainly want it, first off, drink what you like, which is always first and foremost. But if you want something that's going to enhance that meal, a Pinot Noir is a red wine. It's generally a soft, round kind of. It's been noted as being silky. You want to slightly chill it. The temperature is so important with wine. There's very little wine, if any, that you want to drink out of the refrigerator, right? Your refrigerator's 40, 41 degrees. There's not too many things. Maybe white Zinfandel or some kind of.
So your
sangria, you meant sangria.
So your whites are usually colder. Your reds are a little bit warmer than that.
Yeah,
but not warm.
Definitely not warm. They're what we call cellar temperature,
which is about 58, 62 degrees.
Yeah, right in the 60 degree range is what the cellars were in France, and that's where the wines were stored. So that's where they were stored, which meant that's where they were aged. And then you order a bottle, they would head down to the dungeon and. That's where they'd get it. Pinot Noirs can go anywhere from kind of a light dry to even a more of a medium bodied wine. But when I look at them, there are certain regions that I always go for. If I want a Cabernet Sauvignon, I'm going to be hard pressed to not, dive down into Napa. If I want, a Zinfandel or maybe a big, bold wine with lots of flavor and spice, then I might do like a Zin from somewhere out, maybe from Paso Robles. They make just amazing wines down in that area. When I go up north, Oregon is where I get my Pinots, and Washington's where we get our Merlots. Those are just growing regions where those grapes perform generally very, very well.
And I would have to say about a Pinot that it is very similar to a Merlot, that it's good for entry level. For me, starting out with the Cab or Zin, way too strong, way too much in tannins, way too hard for me to learn to embrace. But you started me out on Pinots and Merlots, and that kind of got me going to the red route, because mm-hmm. I always did whites before that.
Yeah. And then you start at the bottom and you work your way up. And I can't tell you how many people enjoyed our winemaker dinners over the years. We started those back in 89 at Di Mercurio's for 17 years and once a month and then just continued those on in other restaurants that we had. But people would because it's fun. You learn about something and it works and you know that, okay, this dish is going to go great with that. And it helps you when you're home to know which wine works. Most of the time you can go to a wine market. They'll have some kind of a wine monger there and you can ask them, that or read the back of the bottle. Some of the things that traditionally go great with Pinot Noir would be salmon. Salmon has, I don't like to use the word stronger because it's not a fishy fish, but it can be stronger in flavor. You want salmon to be as fresh as possible, but also a brie cheese, mushrooms, anything earthy, grilled, bell peppers work good, barbecued pork. So a lot of items that fall into that category. Just a Pinot Noir works.
Does it usually have kind of a dark cherry kind of flavor to it?
It can have a lot of fruit. It can have a lot of, tree fruit flavors to it. And also drawing some air over it, how you actually taste the wine, putting a little bit in your mouth and drawing air over that so the wine touches all the different sides and parts of your tongue so you pick up all of those different flavors.
How important is it to opening your wine early to letting it open up and air out?
The better the wine, the longer you want to give it. I mean, I would, if I, you know, I was given a wine, back, in the early, when was it? It was 96. It was when we went up at the Olympics and we came back from Europe, and someone gave me a 78 cake bread, John Frank, a dear friend of mine. And I sat there, and you couldn't have convinced me, and I had a restaurant for, you know, I'd been in a restaurant for 15 years by then, and I would never have guessed that a wine could be worth, you know, $200, $300, $400. And he gave me this wine, and it was, again, 78 Napa Valley, cake bread. And it was, I sat on my porch and drank it with a Hershey bar in one hand and that wine in the other, because, the wine was perfect. The tannin level had reached where it is. You know, the tannins helped the longevity of the wine. But chocolate helps take out some of the bitterness from the wine. If there is any tannin left, then chocolate can do that. And it's just a great match, a great match. But you can swirl it, see if there's what the legs are. It's got some viscosity. If you get an inexpensive wine, which we do, and sometimes, and you get a nice deal on wine, and you think, hey, this sounds interesting. It's 4 years old. It's a Cabernet. It's grown here. I mean, let's give it a shot. And maybe it's not quite up to par. Then you really want to air it out and give it a little shot. What's the little thing that we...
Oh, those little aerators that you pour it through.
Venturi.
Yeah, the Venturi.
Venturi, yeah. You can aerate it that way. That air will help take out a lot of those off flavors. So it can kind of... It can take a wine that, you know, this one isn't really so good and make it palatable. Or it can take a wine that's just okay and make it even better.
Well, so what, how old should a Pinot be? What should be the year?
You know, it depends on how they're made, depends on the winemaker, but if I was to give an average, I would say my Pinots, I would want them to have maybe 3 to 5 years on them. They could certainly be built to last longer. You know, I've drank wines that were, you know, well over 20 years old before, but it just depends on how they were made, the quality that they were made, and even more than that, on the season, the grapes, and how the grapes were grown and produced. But again, a lot of knowledge online now. You can go and get a Wine Spectator, a lot of different places that have where you can plug in your wine and they'll give you the wine notes. You know, and wine notes should also include the type of foods that would go with that. And I'm sure you could even put in, we're going to do grilled barbecued rabbit, and we're looking for wine choices, wine selections, and I'm sure that Google, whoever's behind the internet thing, will give you as many options as you want.
Well, I like to get whatever's on sale at Trader Joe's, personally.
Well, on sale is always a good thing. And you can hit them out of the park once in a while. You can get one that they bring in that just happens to be slip under the radar a little bit, and they get a good deal, and they wipe out the, you know, that year, and there you go. You stock up some, you know, some wines. But you always want to keep them in a fairly cool place. The biggest challenge with wine is in storing it, or affecting its flavor, is the storage. And you want to store it at at the right temperature, but also a temperature that doesn't fluctuate.
So let's say you got one of a certain year, a certain varietal, a certain brand, and then you thought, I'm going to go back next week and get that exact same bottle. Is there a chance that it's not going to taste the same?
No, no, no. Well, when they make wine and they bottle it, I ran a winery, again, you know that, for a couple of years in Napa, and the juice that goes in the bottles goes in the entire run. All right, so that would be, I guess the only possibility would be if it was corked.
What is corked?
And corked is where it doesn't get a good seal because of the quality of the cork, maybe the way it was put in. But if air can get to it, air adds oxidation, and with oxidation, you start getting off flavors, and then you'll start getting the coloring. Red wines will start to get a little bit of a brown to them. White wines will start getting kind of a little more of a dull, almost kind of a grayer color, but not really noticeable. But yeah, other than that, nope, should be the same. And if you get a wine that's corked, bring it back. Bring it back wherever you got it and tell them. I would think they would stand behind it. I mean, now if 3/4 of the bottle's gone, they might not go for it. But other than that, I think that, you know, when you get a wine and it's not right, then, you know, and there you go. And if you don't drink the wine, be sure to make sure the oxidation doesn't happen. There's a variety of tools you can get to suck the last of that air out. or rest maybe some by putting some gas into the bottle so it rests on top so air doesn't get to it, because oxidation is really the biggest challenge.
And if it's a bad bottle of wine, you don't want to sit and drink it. Should you cook with it? Can you at least utilize it somehow?
Yeah, you can always cook with it. Always cook with it. I've taken wines and even frozen them if I know I'm going to make a big pot of stew. You know, and I'm going to want that wine in there, and it's going to have the same flavor, but also it's going to, you know, the alcohol will cook out. But I want, like, my beef bourguignon, I do want a red wine flavor, you know.
Maybe pour some in this, like an ice cube tray, so you can just grab a...
Yeah, that's always a trick that they've done in the past. Just throw them in an ice cube tray, and anytime you want a little red wine, just go ahead and toss it in there, and you're all set to go. So, again, just thank you folks for listening. We appreciate you tuning in to Cooking Like a Pro. Again, you can text your questions at cookinglikeapropodcast.net. Thank you for joining me.
Town Hall is brought to you on KCNR Shasta Reading by Shasta Regional Medical Center. Your life, your health, your choice. Shasta Regional Medical Center.